Well, here we are. Yeah. So what are we going to talk about this morning?
You had a whole evening to think about it.
I did. But I thought about it over breakfast. Breakfast coffee.
You didn't even have to be instant.
I don't? Yes, I do. Because I don't have a...
All night to be instant.
Well, that's true. But I didn't think about it last night. I was laughing this morning because I'm sitting there taking notes down at the coffee shop thinking about what we're going to talk about. And at Maryland School, they give out awards, friendliest, handsomest, cutest, and all that. And they have a new category in teenagerdom called Most Random.
Would that be Maryland? That would be what?
No, she's actually getting friendliest, maybe. Which,
what?
Yeah.
Oh, man. That must be some really...
There must be some real muggers there. No, she her personality changes when she steps out of the vehicle. Well, she's so thrilled to have friends, you know. FBA, she didn't have any... She had one friend. Now she got 12. She counts 12. But I feel very random, you know, because as I sit and think about all the things that we talk about and do, it's like it's almost like I feel like a molecule with all these protons and neutrons spinning around of the thoughts and the concepts and the plagues and the law and Christ this and that, and it's a wild bunch of stuff that we are placed in the middle of in leading up to this feast that we celebrate. And every aspect of our lives is touched, hopefully. And so I was thinking about the plagues, and last week we talked about the gods of Egypt. And to me, there's always this urge and this need to cross this line from listening to this stuff to experiencing and knowing these things. Just hearing and having the information logged in your memory means absolutely nothing to me. I can't remember it anyway. Maybe that's why. But to cross this line of intellectualism and enter into the reality of knowing that Christ is my life, knowing that Christ is our life, that's what drives and compels me in every time I think about teaching. And so and I can feel it when Ole talks too, because he teaches and studies and goes through these incredible lessons, and I know he sits here and thinks nobody understands. Nobody hears me. You don't get this sense of crossing into the land. But that's our mission, is that we might, I know as a teaching position, there's this sense of making sure everyone is prepared. Because when you sit here and talk, you know you mean nothing. You really do. I am of no value other than any way God can communicate himself through my emptiness, my purposed weakness. And that's the struggle of this office, because it's preparing everyone else that they might walk through the gates, might enter the land, whatever language you need to understand it. So there's and what else was Christ's mission? What was his life about? His entire being was nothing more than that very same thing. His life was nothing except what it meant to someone else from his Father. So that is also your ministry. You know, we have the ministry of reconciliation. We are here to reconcile another to the Father. Prayerfully, that's how our lives work out in the walk. When we're out of this room, we're being in the world. these words that we hear, these feasts that we celebrate, this Christ that we worship, we pray that it's not something that we take to ourselves and hold privately and enjoy privately, but that we are able to fulfill the commandment to deny ourselves, to lay down our life, to cast off our burdens, so that as needs arise, we just respond. We are the life of God through this vessel. So that's why we meet all the time. That's why we talk all the time, and we pray that there's something tangible that moves from one being, one body to another. That's why we live in a community. Because we believe that in a community there's 100 times more opportunities for this to take place. The kicker is it won't take place if you're trying. You cannot put on a face of Christ and say, I believe and I like all this stuff, so I'm now going to do it. All you're able to really do is stop not being who you are and believe that God has made you the way you are because of His own thinking, not yours. Then you open your mouth or arms or ears or eyes or whatever it is you are restricting, and you become who you are. Be yourself. Don't worry about it. Don't be a religious, a Pharisee, the one who thinks they have to obey rules and laws to fulfill the walk that God has placed before. And that's, we preach against religion. I preach against religion. I hate religion. And I'm probably religious is one of the reasons I need to do it. I have a religious streak. I'm bent that way. And when I discover and see that religious person that's in me, I loathe it. I loathe my flesh. I physically experience loathing of the flesh. And that's not a bad feeling, as it turns out. Loathing of the flesh is a very excellent feeling, because that's where repentance can happen in me. And I sure as hell don't want to spend 35 or 40 or whatever years there are allotted to this flesh in this place and miss the very purpose and cause and reason that we're even here. So I pray for not only that I see, but I pray that those I encounter are able to see this mystery that we are delivered into. Because it's huge. It's the best. It's the only reason there is for this planet to continue to exist, as far as I see. I mean, what other purpose is this world serving? It spins around the sun. People do stuff. You know, who cares? Everything anybody's ever done is gone anyway, except a few pyramids and some other stuff. But it gets down to, we are on the plagues, these gods not only of Egypt, but the gods of Trinity. This is where probably we should think of it, the gods of Trinity. Forget the gods of Egypt, because we have our own gods. And I was just in my surmisings this morning, our gods might be our pride in the fact that we meet every morning. Our pride in the fact that we are a Christian community. Has anybody noticed? We have a magazine. We have a TV ministry. The media calls us, you know, we're special. And other Christians might not be as special as we are, you know, because they don't do what we do. I know, it's a shame. They don't have our lifestyle. They don't have a poverty vow. They don't have a mission. They don't celebrate the feasts. If there's any pride in that arena, which, believe me, there is, I might even have a little myself, I'm not going to tell you right now, but then address that as sin. See it, not address it, but see it as sin. And pray God grant you repentance of it. Because we talked very deeply last night about, we are called not to be you know, bishops and archbishops and that, we're called to be servants. We're called to serve, not to be served. So our life is not one of here to see what we can get from, but to see who we can give to. And if it ever switches, then we're walking not as servants of God, but as servants of the Antichrist, servants of self. And believe me, that is constantly, it's like gravity. It's always sucking. It's always right there trying to pull you into its trap and its lairs. So that's our, Mike and I talked yesterday a little bit about exercise and training. I forget the scriptures, but it was like our exercise and training is to remain aware of those types of traps when they present themselves. When we see them, we respond to them accordingly. We don't go around fearful beings, but we are cognizant of the fact that there's a battle going on. And what's cool about these plagues and the gods that are being destroyed, these idols, is that without them being destroyed, we will not know that we're serving a living God. This is not a God of principles and rules and regulations, but it's a living God that we serve. He thinks, he knows, he understands, he's compassionate, he loves it, you know. And he's set this up so that we can never see him. But he is there. And this is what the Hebrews, you know, they were serving the living God, and everybody else had these nice idols and stuff that they could look at and worship, and it was comfortable that way. And we like it that way, too. We'd like to have a few idols, something that we can sense, touch by our senses and know and experience. You know, that's why the golden calf was made. You know, they made the golden calf to the God that delivered them from Egypt because they needed to see and touch and feel this being. But God doesn't want that. He wants us walking in the moment. That's why you cannot fake it. You can only be and express who you are in this very moment. And I'm sure that's why Ole jumps my case about time. You know, and somehow he sees me as I don't know what he sees actually, but there's something about thinking that you can walk this walk with future activities or considering the past and getting out of this very moment. That's a temptation. It's a great temptation because it's scary not to know where you're going to go and what you're going to say and what you're going to do. I experience it in Ole telling me I have to teach. And I don't have time to study, nor do I have the inclination to study. And so I said, well, I'm going to go and I'm going to sit there and I'm going to be a fool because I don't have a lesson prepared. And so I get scared. And then I deal with that. And then it's like I experience mistrust. I experience believing that God won't be able to be there in the moment. I believe he'll be there yesterday and I believe he'll be there tomorrow. But to believe that God is able to be right now for me, having not prepared a darn thing to say what's going to happen, because here's everybody looking at me and I'm going to be a fool, you know. Well,
all that stuff beyond I'm going to be a fool is just speculation, because I'm going to be a fool, well, that's fine.
And that's right, exactly.
Yeah, you're probably going to be fine.
Because being a fool isn't that bad. Because if you think you're more than a fool, then you got something to live up to. Yeah, you're thinking too much of yourself. Yeah. So, in another sense, it all gets down to prepositions. It's being being in Christ, because in him, perfect love casts out fear. In him, there is no fear. You're a fool or not a fool. You don't care because your life is swallowed up in, prepositionally, in his life. And your life's purposes are only for him. I am not for myself, I'm for him. My faith is not of my abilities or anything about me. My faith is of him. And so suddenly if you start seeing correctly, then what do I matter? What if I do get laughed at? What if y'all think lowly of me? What if I walk out of here depressed? What if, you know? Those are the things that drive us from being in the moment. So, let these plagues destroy your gods. Be aware that you have them. Don't be fooled and think you don't. Be open to the fact that these gods are that want to trap you. These lifeless, deaf idols are always trying to get you engaged with them because you think you will find life in them. Don't fall for it. But more than that, I pray that your eyes are open to where you see it. If you don't see it, it won't mean a thing. It has to, your eyes have to be opened. So I pray you join me in that prayer that our eyes are open to the idols that we here in this block serve. And let's let God destroy them so that we can have a Passover. And not do a Passover, but have a Passover. It will happen. And there'll be an experience on a level deeper than we can even imagine. And that will be God's joy and His love. I mean, this living God, that's the other wonderful thing about what we do here is we serve a living God. You know, not an abstract concept of the past. So, let your guards down. Be weak. Purpose your weakness if you're strong. Take a deep breath. Let yourself be. Find out who you are. You'll probably be an idiot like me. You know, you'll say stuff and people will, you know, laugh at you right in your face, maybe. You know, give you a bad time. We'll find out where your flesh is still quickened, you know, so that you can repent of it. If there's not enough courage to do that, then you don't want to walk around in the kingdom because it's going to get worse and worse.
Wait till it gets.
You know. We know who you are. So, your name is on the list. So, this leads us right into leaven. And that's another place where God has given us procedures. Knowing our weakness, He's given us the procedures of understanding what it is that puffs us up. Leaven of the Herod, leaven of the Sadducees and the Pharisees. We can examine those arenas of what gives us life or prevents us from having life, one or the other. And again, the beauty of the whole thing is all it is, hey, look at that. And when you see it, you will repent. You don't have to make a decision. Repentance will be what you do. And turning from self, when you see it, like I said earlier, when I loathe my religious self, believe me, when I see that, I don't say, well, shall I go back and entertain that some more? It is so nasty and stinking to me, I automatically just walk away from it. There's no righteousness in that. It's repentance from God. So, correct seeing is critical in the way, and you will rejoice that God allows you to turn from self when you see it. Be aware of the false prophets, the false messages that your mind would give to you about your potentials for success. Amen?
Amen.
Any response? See if I got anything else. No, I said it all.
You actually did have some notes.
I did have some notes, and it was written on the Sacred Contract class brochure. Sacred Contract. Okay, you can talk. I'm done.
I'm wondering if I was asking on our walk up to the coffee shop, here in a broader context, should it be an ominous sign that there's a Pope named Benny?
That's right.
That's my God. That is his name, Benedictus.
Yeah. Benny Le Pope.
Yeah.
Benny? Yeah. Can I get an audience with Benny? Oh.
So, do we have anything to discuss? We need to do. We're going to have a
Saturday morning. Saturday morning, leaving here at 10:30. Be here. Bring your vehicle.
Ready for a great time.
We'll be done in 2.5 hours.
And then,
no, we will.
And then next week we'll be with setting up the tent and everything and all that.
Yeah, during the week.
Yeah. That's right.
You and I. We're
so
leaving.
We really don't have that much time until Passover.
No, it's
good. But really think about it.
Yeah. And we're leaving town tomorrow morning.
What are we going to do with the sand?
That's convenient.
It is convenient and well planned, timed out perfectly.
So a white sheet.
What?
Spread it out all over. Put white sheets on everybody. Somebody sent me the greatest website I'm going to put in the next newsletter. I forget what it's called, but it's a bunch of black men in pink and lavender satin sheets with eyes cut out, you know.
Oh, my God.
It's gay. What is it? Gay black men for Christ or something like that. It's just absolutely fabulous.
Wow.
Pun. Who fucks clowns? They're all holding signs.
I guess anybody in our group is meeting at the Rutledge's tomorrow night.
Maybe.
Yes, sir. Doors are open.
Anybody who is anybody.
Strike.
Yeah.
They won't come.
Anybody.
Where's the Rutledge's?
Right next door. Upstairs. Meet at 8:30. Okay.
8:30 Friday night.
Seven.
That's the best thing you said all morning.
There it is. We vote on Thursday. That was good.
The red door.
Yeah.
The doorbell?
Door on the right.
Yeah, it's behind the red door.
Behind the red door.
Upstairs.
I mean, the door that goes up there. As opposed to the door that goes.
Or that doesn't go upstairs.
It goes to Betty's room.
Well, there's another red door that just goes straight into the bottom part of the house. Yeah.
The secret door. So I guess that's it. Get ready for Passover. That's a wrap.
Take it, big guy.